Luke, the second chapter. Well, glory.
Yes.
You got my music great. How come they always point to you, Lisa? You got it right there? Thank you. Amen. No, don't even go there. Don't even go there. We're going to get started on this message. Amen. Because I don't know about you. We got to be back tonight. We done got spoiled. I have to come back on Sunday night. We'll let them show up by themselves. No, I'm just joking. We'll be here. Amen. This message is called Away in the Manger. The power and the significance of the manger has just been dealing with my spirit. It really don't have anything to do with the season. It's just, it was the life. It was what it represented. When I think about it, I was thinking yesterday, I don't normally write stuff down, but I started writing down. And when I think about how Jesus, I wrote it down, left his peaceful, unstressful, loving habitation of heaven, a perfect environment of heaven, a loving fellowship with his Father, by his own choice. That's what blessed me. By his own choice, he came to earth to be laid in a beastly manger. That's exactly what it was, a beastly manger for an ungrateful creation. For an ungrateful creation, he sacrificed all of that. And when I got to looking at the type shadows and the different principles and concepts of what it was, it took me to a different place. When we think about the manger, we think about Jesus and the wise man, and there wasn't four, it was a ton of them. We preached that it was four because that's all that we see or we've heard. And the stars, how they guided them during the desert, and how God supplied their needs in the desert while they was on their journey. But it was the manger that was important. And the more I looked at it, the more I studied it, I meditated on it, and I found out that there was three things that the manger represented. The manger represented a place of small beginnings. We have to start small sometimes.
Yeah.
It was a place of humiliation. And it also became a place of hope. And what's so crazy about it all is how God combines it all together to bring forth a body of believers that have something to stand on other than just a word, but we can stand in the word. Because the difference from a word and the word, a word is a logo, something spoken. The word is a rhema, something you live in. In the second chapter of Luke, in the very first verse, it reads, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger." Look at your neighbor and say, manger.
Manger.
"Because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night." If you look at the principles of the matter, when it says that it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, Well, guess what? We're all being taxed. Even the church. You got to stay with me now. I'm probably not going to finish this today because I don't want to rush myself. And I want to make sure we understand what he died for. Why he came. We're all being taxed today. What this does, it takes an Old Testament prophecy and align it with a New Testament reality.
Come on now.
And by doing that, it lets us know that we are Alpha and Omega. Yeah. We are the beginning and the end. Yeah. And everything that comes in between, we are a part of.
Yeah.
And the taxing was first when Cyrus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. That's important. Everybody went into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. Joseph went to his home city to be taxed. It's amazing, isn't it? We don't like taxes today. Because we feel like we get more than what we get, and we do. But nevertheless, God has a reason and a purpose for everything. If this man or this ruler hadn't decided to decree to tax everybody, then Joseph would have never found himself back in Judea.
Amen.
He would have been out of context and out of scripture. Whatever it is you're going out, you're taxed. Not just by the government, but you're taxed by your circumstances.
Yeah.
You're taxed by your trials.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're taxed by your mental thoughts. You're taxed by your anxieties. Yeah. You're taxed by your pains and your persecutions and your afflictions. You're taxed by them. Being taxed means that someone is taking something from you and made a decree to take something from you that you very dearly feel that you need. What they take from you by taxing you is your joy and your peace and your comfort and your strength that you need to live this life that you're living. You ever heard on a job where some folks said, well, they said, how'd it go today? They overtaxed me today. So Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. And said, what's so important about Judea? Because the tribe of Judea was a praise worship tribe.
Yeah.
They were the tribe of praise and worship. The reason God actually forced him back in Judea. Because you know where his mindset was. He was getting ready to discard Mary when he found out she was pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he realized he didn't do it. So if he didn't do it, somebody had to. So the angel of the Lord did something to it. So here he is. In Judea, unto the city of David, which was, we know who David was, which is called what?
Bethlehem.
The reason, all these names are so significant today, the word Bethlehem is translated the house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. All these things corresponding, bringing us to a place. And that's when God spoke to my heart this. There's a way into the manger. I know all this was about Jesus, but what was important that we discarded was the manger. There's a way into the manger, and it's through Jesus. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what God was showing me, that the manger is a way of life. That's why it's a place of small beginnings. It's a place of humiliation and a place of hope. I'm going to choke on this. I don't want to be up here choking, and y'all think I'm in the spirit and let me be. He's just in the spirit. I'm choking to death. Nevertheless, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Which the city of David is called what? Zion. Wednesday morning we dealt with a message called Zion. We are Zion. And it's so important that we understand that the way to the manger is through Christ. And the manger is so powerful. It's actually crazy concerning the manger. When you find out, most of you already know what the manger means, but some of you don't. When you think of manger, you think that he was in a place, he was laying on nice clean straw. He was laying on nice clean straw. He was so comforted. It was so peaceful in there. How peaceful could it be in you in a barn full of animals? That's the, excuse my French, then crapped all over the place. How many been to a zoo? Or been in a barn where there's horses and different animals? Does it smell good? How would you like to be born in there? It's a place of small beginnings. To be taxed with Mary, his exposed wife, being great with child. He was being taxed, and his wife was being taxed. Yet you understood in those days, in that season, if he was being taxed, Mary was also being taxed. And if she was with child, the child was being taxed. Joseph didn't have a job. So where was he going to get the money from? See how everything just kind of falls into place. Here we got all the wise men coming with gifts. Frankincense and myrrh, which all represent money. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So here we are. Mary is exposed, or the different type shadow of she had, means a swelling inside. It means she had a swelling inside. And we have a swelling in us. It's Christ in us. Come on, I hold my glory. Glory to God. She was exposed. And I like the words when you get into them to the original writings, because it'll shake your foundation. The word exposed means to give a souvenir or to betroth. You know, when you marry somebody and you betroth, right, that means she wasn't just married to Joseph, but she was married to her baby. The type shadow of a church, a woman being married to the church. Or we being married. That's why Paul said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ so loved the church and gave his life for it. Because it's a type shadow, it's a principle of marriage, of covenant relationship. Married his exposed wife, who had a souvenir or betrothed, being great with child. Well, my God. Somebody say great with child.
Great with child.
She was great with child. She wasn't just pregnant. But she had the great I am in her. She was great with a child. The child in her was great. There are going to come days and times in your life when you're going to find yourself in situations and you don't have no one to trust in but Christ. And if you don't know him, you won't trust him.
Come on. Yeah.
Man.
Am I going too slow for you? Just want to make sure. She was being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished or fulfilled that she should be delivered. She's in a barn full of animals delivering a baby who is the kingdom of God. In a barn full of animals. And horse feces, cow feces, sheep feces. But yet she's in the barn. About to bring forth a kid. You're going to be in a whole lot of nasty places in your life. And God expects you to produce a kid.
Come on now. Come on now. Come on now.
Try to imagine. She'd already been through the fact that everybody wondering if she'd been sleeping around. Because here she got her, this baby, and they know, and the whole town knew that Joseph didn't have nothing to do with it.
Right.
But she's got to hold her head up because of what the angel of the Lord told her. You didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. Joseph didn't even hear it. She was the only one that heard it, so she had to stand on the facts and knowledge and understanding that God has gave her. There's going to be times in your life, the only thing that you can stand on is the word of God.
Yes.
A word that God gave you personally.
Yes.
You can't tell nobody about that word because they're not going to believe you anyway.
Come on now.
Just got to believe God. It says, accomplish or fulfill that which she should deliver. Her firstborn, hallelujah, wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes. We know that swaddling is to sweat, or it means like a medical term, which equals bandage. She wrapped him in a bandage. There was no clothes to put on him, no robe to put on him. She wrapped him in what she had. Sometimes you got to use what you got.
Come on now.
To make it in this life. But I got news for you. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't have much. You don't have much. There's a whole lot of little nuggets in here. I'm trying to keep it peaceful. While the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The word delivered, she's talking about that she should be delivered. That's what it says, right? It don't say that she should deliver, but it says that she should be delivered. She should be delivered. Why is that? Because her flesh has been battling her this whole time of pregnancy.
Come on now.
Been battling her in her mind because she still has to believe in what the angel of the Lord told her, but she knows what she's going through in her body.
Yes.
She has to deal with what the people in the neighbor, in the congregation or around them are saying about her. And still believe God. Gets kind of hard sometimes when folks are persecuting you and afflicting you and you're going through stuff in your home or your job or wherever, and you said, then you this one scripture we always remind ourselves of. Father, you said you put no more on us than that which we could bear. That was my favorite scripture. Until he spoke back to me one day. He said, evidently you can bear it. Or I wouldn't allow you to go through it. In a nutshell, what that meant was shut up, get up, and move up. Because your complaining and murmuring and bellyaching about what you're going through ain't going to get you through it. Here's Mary, about to be delivered from this baby. Now she got this baby in her. This baby already been talking.
Amen.
What's he talking about? This baby was talking to John the Baptist while
that's
he
right.
was still in the
that's
womb.
Right. That's right. Amen.
You got a baby and you talking. Spiritually talking Amen. To another womb.
Yeah. Yes.
And because of it, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. That's in me. I'm ready to be delivered of this. Because if he could deal with John the Baptist's mother in her womb, he was dealing with Mary.
Yes.
Oh, that's impossible. Most of you women, when you were having your kids, didn't you have cravings for stuff? Stuff that you didn't like. Stuff that everybody around you thought was absolutely crazy. Ice cream and pickles. And if you didn't get it, you would go kill somebody. Man, you better get up out of here and go get me a pickle. But it's not you that was craving it. It was something designed on the inside of you that was craving it. Well, y'all don't hear me this morning. I think I'm moving too slow. That she should be delivered, set free. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Her firstborn son. The firstborn son. Knowing that we know in scripture he was the firstborn among many brethren. Or translation, he was the firstborn in many brethren. I'm trying to get you lined up to who we are and where we are. The place of small beginnings. Go to Micah real quick. You know I don't use news, but this is important. Micah 5:2. A lot of times, you're going to start in little beginnings. That's why I got it. That's why I was so impressed with the pastors, because we began with in little beginnings. We didn't have a leg to stand on, but we stood. Our back was broken, but we held each other up. It's a place of being. 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, through thou be little among the thousands of Judah. Yet one of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth will have been of old forever. From everlasting. We know that the Old Testament is the everlasting gospel. Also, I don't know if you know it, but the book of Revelations is also the everlasting gospel. Who do we know in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? Jesus. All this prophetic word coming forth about a king who's going to have little beginnings have been from old. Where did he start? Out of his mother's womb in Genesis. The word old is translated ancient or nature. Go to Zechariah 4:10. Sometimes we don't like small beginnings. We want to start on the top. God, you call me. I want to start right on the top. You bless me with this job. I don't want to be cleaning out toilets. Maybe some of the stuff we did around here was small beginnings. What did Brother Andy? We tarred roofs. We went down to the sewers. You know what's in sewers. We went down to the tunnels of the church, and you know what's down there. Spiders, mice, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Oh my. And we didn't have a choice. Because Pastor Hart be standing at that little trap door. Did you get it? And we'd be saying to each other, I wish he'd come down here. And it was 5 minutes later, you heard him. It's nasty down here. Y'all need to clean it out. How you gonna clean out the tunnel? It says, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the earth. Your small beginnings may be small to you, but they big to God. As long as you stand fast wearing the liberty, you've been set free. Yeah. And you abound in the works of the Almighty. Yeah. You increase in the things of God. You will find out that your small beginnings are actually big beginnings. Amen. Because they started in God.
Amen.
Yeah. Then answered and I said unto them, what are these two olive trees which are right side and on the candlestick upon the left side? And we know that Jesus represents the candlestick in the tabernacle. And we know that the olive tree represents him in the book of Matthew.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like how God ties his word together. Amen. You got to see it together. You got to see it flowing together.
Yeah.
And I answered and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? It's Christ and his body that has got the oil flowing forth up out of him so that we can minister to a dying world.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh. Little beginnings. A place of small beginnings. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped. I like the word wrap. Because the word wrapped is the important word. The swaddling clothes is important. It's the word wrapped. It means she covenanted herself with him by wrapping him, endearing him, comforting him, providing for him. God wants you to wrap somebody.
Amen.
Yeah.
He wants you to wrap them with your love. Wrap them in peace, wrap them with encouragement, wrap them with strength, cover them, cover it with them.
Come on now.
And that's something we done lost. It's a dying art. We don't want to do that no more. We don't want to cover ourselves with nobody because we think everybody's out to get us. Some of them are, some of them not. But that's a chance you have to take when you're in Jesus. Because you know what I found out? If you get yourself in trouble trying to do the right thing, God will go before you and straighten it out for you.
Amen.
Go back to Luke.
Ishando kobo shanda shandia kaba shiko ilaba ilandro moko shanda ilaba kaliata isho ishandia kaba shiko ilobo shandia taba kiliandra maka shiko ishandia taba.
Know ye not this day, my people, that I put everything in the place just for thee. And yea, I tied everything together. Yea, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, that a little. And yea, I reveal it unto thee
Yea, line upon line, precept upon line upon line, here a little and there a little, that you may be fulfilled with my glory and my plan that I have purpose. My plan and my purpose is eternal for thee, said God. And yea, in this land ye shall have, and in this land ye shall walk, and in this land ye shall go to and fro, and in this land ye shall go through the trial, the circumstances, and the situation. Yea, I sent my son, and he came, and yea, he walked through, and he went through, and yea, he died just for you, said God. So lift him up and praise him and glorify his name, for he came that you might be saved, said God.
Hallelujah. 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 Great with child. And so it was that while they were there, days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Somebody say, laid him. In a manger. Let me tell you something. Wherever you see the word him or her, it speaks of self. The translation for those words is self. Meaning that it comes to a place and time in her life where she had to sacrifice herself. In sacrificing herself, she was about to have a baby that wasn't Joseph's. Wasn't anybody's. But God's. God is waiting on you to bring forth a child. To birth a child that represents him. But the only way you can do that is if you sacrifice yourself in order to allow it to come forth. Everybody's waiting on this church, but God said we're already here. We're already here. This church is already here, moving, abiding in the things of God, letting the very presence of God and the nature of God have its way in and out of our lives. Loving folks that hate us, caring for folks that don't care about us, having compassion for folks that are uncompassionate, praying for folks that will never pray for you, encouraging folks that always want to destroy you. This is the time that we're in. This is the time that God has called us to, and that is to show forth the power and the glory of God by showing that we've been wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Come on now.
And laid him in a manger. For your wilderness experience is exactly what it says. It's an experience. It's an experience for you to grow from and to mature in, that you might know that all good things come from above, and that if you stand in me, I'll be with you. I already promised you I'll be with you yesterday, today, and forever, and that I never change. Therefore, I want to open up your eyes and illuminate your spirit that you might see me as I am. Because if you can see me as I am, you'll know who you are. And if you know who you are, then you'll fight a good fight of faith. You'll run this race with patience. And you won't be going around as a boxer fighting in the air as though not fighting anything. But you'll know exactly where your battle exists. And you'll know how to stand against that battle. And you'll produce a nature and a character that says, for surely the kingdom of God is not in heaven, but it's in the earth, and is dwelling in a man that has sacrificed and submitted himself to the very power and the knowledge of God. They laid him in a manger. All the time I thought about manger, Brother Andy, I assumed that it was just it was a beautiful place. Why would you take Jesus to a beautiful place? A dump. They took him to a dump. And then in spite of her having the baby amongst the sheep and the cows and the horses and the dung, the crap that they had left down there. They didn't clean out barns the way they do today. So she had to find a clean spot. But it was still all around her. When you think you're free at last, oh my God, I'm free at last, you look up and it's, you're surrounded by crap.
Yeah.
I'm putting it nicely. You're surrounded by crap. And then on top of that, after he was born and she wrapped him and protected him, showing forth the protection of God, she laid him in a manger. Y'all know what a manger is, right? Some of y'all do. It is a horse trough. She laid him in a horse trough. If you don't know what a horse trough is, that's that area, that little thing looked like a big old baby basket that's water in, that they go to horses and the different animals, the livestock go to drink out of. She laid him in a manger. Put him in a horse trough. But it didn't matter. Because God had already made provisions for them. How many barns you been in where there's livestock that the horse trough ain't full of water? There was no water in that horse trough or that animal trough because he was the water. That was about to fill the trough. He was that water. You're going to find yourself. You've got to find the manger and eschew Christ. You're going to find yourself in a horse trough. You'll find yourself in a place or a predicament where you are humiliated. It moves right over into a place of humiliation. Here you are, humiliated because of your circumstances, because of what people think about you, because of your mistakes, because of your fallings off. You are humiliated. And don't you think for 1 minute folks are going to pat you on the back and tell you how proud they are of you for standing up for what is right, even though it humiliated you. But remember, you got to find your manger. And the manger was also made out of wood. It's funny that in this particular instance, this manger or this horse trough was made out of shittim wood. The word shittim speaks of humanity.
Come on now.
He gave up everything that he had in heaven to come down, be born in a barn, be laid in a horse trough for a people that could care less, that could give a flying flip. But he did it anyway. And if he say, these things that I do, you shall do. The word shall means you will do also, and even greater. That's the part I didn't like, Brother Malcolm, the even greater part, because if you do greater works, you go through greater trials.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Jesus went through for 3 years. You've been going through for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And it ain't over with yet.
Amen.
Because there's something that's been assigned to you. Something, someone has been assigned to you to interfere with your walk in God. A lot of times we don't see it until we're humiliated by it.
Yeah.
But you got to do the shake. Shake yourself off. Shake the dust off your walk. And keep it moving. You can't stay where you were. And the reason he was in the manger was because there was no room for him in the inn. It represents guest chambers. He should have been in the guest chambers, but there was no room. There's going to be a lot of times there won't be any space for you. Nothing accommodating your lifestyle Nothing accommodating what you think it should be or how you feel it should have turned out. Nothing accommodating your faith in God. But God said it don't matter. I'm going to wrap you with swaddling clothes. And this manger that I'm tracing you in, which represents you, humanity, you shall still be.
But even though I placed him in the manger and in swaddling clothes, did I not protect him? Did I not care for him? Did I not make a way for him, even though they had nothing? For what I with him, they had everything. For I am the Lord your God, and there I shall protect you with my swaddling, and I shall lay you in my place of security, and my place of sanctuary, and in my place you shall have the salvation. You shall have all that you have need of. Continue to follow after me. Do not fight up against the trial, but fight in me. Fight for the love, that the love and the joy might show forth. Even in the midst of the swaddling coat, he was the king. In the midst of the trough, he was still the king. Even in the midst of the bond, he was still the king. Even in the midst of your circumstance, you shall still show forth the nature and the character of the God that I have come to show forth my nature and the character in the earth, saith the Lord.
It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I'll close out. I'll finish this tomorrow, next month, next week. Next week we'll get on a place of humiliation. Y'all thought I said that I meant next month, huh? Next week, we're going to continue in a place of humiliation, and we'll go into a place of hope. There are times you're going to be so humiliated because of your circumstances. It will only be the grace and the hope of God that will allow you to get there. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking from hearsay, but I'm telling you from experience.
Yes.
Humiliation has the ability to destroy your thoughts and your ideas and your principles concerning the things of God.
Yeah.
They laid him in a manger, hallelujah, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was another decree out that every firstborn was to be sacrificed. Because not only were the men coming from the east for him, but there was a king that was looking for him also.
That's right.
That wanted to kill him. And if there had been room in the inn, he'd have been in the inn.
Thank you.
When you least expect it, God's going to close down your inn so he can place you where he wants you, so he can protect you and keep you. It may not be where you want to be, but it's going to be where God wants you. And whenever you are where God wants you, you are the divine will and desire of God. And if you are in his divine will, then he has an opportunity, an ability to keep you. The word "in" also represents opportunity and condition. There's going to be some opportunities that's going to come up in your life. You better make sure you pray about them before you accept them.
Amen.
There's going to be some conditions surrounding your status or your situation. Make sure you pray about it before you move into it. I'm looking for the manger. I want to be laid in the manger because it's a place of first beginnings or little beginnings. Because somewhere it says that God used the small things, foolish things, to confound the wise. That speaks of foolish things are little things that folks assume are insignificant.
Yes, yes, yes.
But they have lots of significance. Father, we thank you.
Daria como, ye kiro roboshi, ye kiro robo, danariaka, ya daria como, ye kiro roboshi, ye kiro robo.
Some of you today are dwelling in this inn of comfortability and desire and opportunity. But I have been trying to move you into the manger. Because in the manger, there will I be waiting on you to keep you and to bless you and to strengthen you, that you might continue on in the life that I have prepared for thee. So think it not strange, the fiery trial that you are subjected to or that you are going through. But know that in all of this, I am purifying you as mine. I am setting you apart for this ministry that I am bringing forth in the earth in this last day. For surely there's a people that's already here that know the truth about who they are and who I am in them. And as they abide in it, I will abide in them. And there shall be no weapon that shall be formed against them that has the ability to prosper or overwhelm them to the place where they do not worship and glorify me. So my children, keep your eyes up to the hills to which cometh your help, knowing that your help cometh from me. And the hill is Zion, and you are Zion. So know that my help cometh from me, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, that shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in myself, saith of God. But there was no room for him in the inn. If you find that there's no room for you in a certain place, and maybe it's a possibility you're not supposed to be there. But we found a way to work around that and position ourselves in it anyway, and then wonder why we're going through all the hell and the junk that we're going through. Just because it has a fragrant smell, don't mean it's where God wants you. I'm sure the inn had a nice incense smell in it. But there was none in the stall. But you know what the good thing about it is? It's just a type of who God wants us to become. So I tell you, find your manger and lie in it and be who God wants you to be and not whom you think you need to be. Amen. If you think about the apostles and all they went through, they all had different stories of what happened because they all saw it in a different light. Just like you'll see what you see in a different light. But make sure what you see is in the light and not in darkness. Because if it's in the light, somebody around you is going to be blessed, encouraged, uplifted. If your light isn't encouraging, uplifting, or causing people to want to have joy or peace in their lives, then you need to search yourself and check yourself out. Because there's something missing from your life, and it sounds like it's the character and it's the nature of God.
Amen.
God is coming back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back to go to the mountain of Zion, and you are that mountain, and you are Zion. So really, you better make sure every crooked place is straight. Didn't say you weren't going to have crooked places. Just say make them straight. Ain't nobody perfect. Folks would like to think they are, but they're not. If they were perfect, they'd be gone already. Got news for you, folks. The scripture says Jesus is going to bust through the eastern sky and call people back in his word. You better have some word in you. So when he come back for us, he'll see his word. You know what the good thing about that is? If he can see his word, it'll bypass your mistakes. I'm away in the manger, Greg. I'm away in the trough. And the wise men are coming from all over to give me gifts. God will work it out for you. If you go by what God tells you to do, He will work it out for you. Even though the man has got guards and troops all out looking for him, and spies and snitches, nobody would ever look in a manger, in an animal stall.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes you have to hide yourself in the secret place of the Most High, and if it just happens to be an animal stall, then you hide yourself in there. Prepare yourself, for the church is about to do great exploits, which man thought was dead already. But we won't have to use trickery.
Amen.
You get folks healed.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
For the time has come, and now is, that men must see my glory. Men must see me in the true light that who I really am. And that light must come from you. Ye are my lights, and ye shall not be hid, but ye shall be placed upon a hill, that all men might be able to see the works, that all men might be able to see and come to the light. They might, and through you, that they would come unto me, that I might relieve them of their burden, that I might relieve them of their strength, that I might give them peace and strength, and of the strength and the life that only come from me. Ye are my vessels, ye are my body, ye are my people. I have called thee from the beginning that you would stand up and proclaim that I am the King, that I am the great I am, that I am your deliverer, and I am your sanctifier, and I am their deliverer, and I am their King, and I am their sanctifier. Continue to obey me, follow after my ways, and they shall see my great light and come unto me, saith the Lord.
We are living in a day where the social media has taken over the airwaves. So only what you do for Christ is what's going to matter. So make sure you know who you're doing for. And you can only do it if you find your way to the manger. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. Finding your way into the manger, so that you can bring self under subjection to the power of God. His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So the word, the Greek word for with, is in us, meaning God in us. He is Emmanuel. Emmanuel was in that manger. Emmanuel was in that manger, and Emmanuel is now dwelling in us and with us. So you are with child, and you are about to give birth to a child that shall have dominion and authority in the earth, in love and in peace, and in long suffering and goodness, and the fruit of the Spirit. You shall, my shataku, give birth to a child that shall represent the kingdom of God. For in him is love, and love is God. How can you say you love your brother whom you see every day and love not God, that who you don't see at all? You've got to make up in your mind that you are living, you are born in a manger, and you are part of what God wants for this earth. Therefore, you're going to get up. They're going to supply you with all the things that you have need of by the very grace and the very mercies of God. And you can proclaim that this no longer will be the acceptable year of the Lord, but this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is the day that we shall rejoice and be glad in it, because we are in a manger experience. Praise the Lord. Lead me to the manger. lead me to the manger. Because in the manger, I'll find Jesus. That's why John, in the book of John, the first John, it talks about when we shall see him as he is. You'll never see him as he is until you know who you are. As things wax worse and worse, because that's what the Bible says, we shall become stronger and stronger and stronger. Because instead of drawing to the circumstance, we're going to draw near to God. And if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. What was that song? Nearer, precious Lord, to the place where I, so Sherry, come sing it. I know you know it. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to the place where I belong. I am thine, O Lord. I am thine. Mom, I'm gonna have you come up here and sing it again. We got to the place where we don't sing Christmas songs because we assume that it's something other than Christmas. But if you listen to the words of these songs come from people that were having a personal relationship or experience with God. Some of these songs that we hear, old songs that we hear, they were songs that got these people through the ordeals or the circumstances that they were going through in their life. Like Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. These are the songs. Away in the manger,
no crib for his head, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The
to be sweet. forsake all things that come to afflict you and just keep it moving. No matter how hard things get, God's still in control.
Amen.
Sister Georgia called me yesterday. Was it yesterday, Sister Georgia? Friday. Her grandson, how high was that building? He fell 129 feet. And he hit all concrete. But God is so good, so merciful. He was in a coma. She said at 4:30 this morning, he called her from the hospital. God is still in the healing business. You just have to pray and believe that it's possible. Once you pray, don't dwell on it. Move in a different direction. And just believe that God's doing everything that he's going to do. Find your way to the manger. Even if it is just an old nasty trough that everybody else that fed out of and think they left you nothing. Find yourself in the barn where there's a whole bunch of smelly stuff. But yet, even though they throw you in the fiery furnace, you'll come out not smelling like smoke. Because you found your way in the manger. Amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. As you're standing.